That's right. We are right here, Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. I am sitting across from Chuck Graves, the first principal of Emerald High School. And from a very funny standpoint here, Chuck, I happen to be the, you gave me your scrapbook of all the great things that you'd kept over the years. And from the Emerald City Beacon, it says, "A moment in history. First high school student to receive his class school schedule for Emerald High." That was on Thursday, August 18th, 1994. And today is August 18th, 2014.
How about that?
Isn't that awesome?
Unbelievable.
And when we booked this, we had no idea that these dates would coordinate so well.
None whatsoever.
Yeah, so here it is, 20 years. 20 years of Emerald High School is this year. You know, when you, of course, were on the cutting edge of putting that all together. But before we talk about any about that, I got to ask you. You know, you were principal there. Then you went over to the G. Frank Russell Center, took over from the master.
I did.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know, since you've retired, how's life?
Life is just wonderful. I just never thought retirement would happen to me, but it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, that's great. That's great. So you're enjoying, you're still involved in the community in a lot of ways.
I am. And I serve on the Y board member there. I'm very active in my church, men's ministry, youth program there, and just a lot of little things. I want to cook some days. Some days I want to walk. Some days I want to read. Some days I write. So just a lot of things. And then I got my honey to-do list. My wife retired about 3 years before I did. So there's always something going on with me.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And, of course, now your son Jonathan, is in the school system. So he's carrying on the Graves tradition here.
He is. And some days he'll say, "Dad, I need a speaker for such and such a school ceremony," or whatever. So I'm always available to help him when I can.
Well, that's terrific. And, of course, he's heading up the Grace, don't get so excited. Grace, the United Way program. And she's really excited because she remembers Jonathan was here the other day.
Okay. sounds good.
Yeah. So he's heading up the Pace Setter program.
He is. He is real proud of his niche for wanting to help other people. And that's something I just was surprised. He got so involved in that. I had absolutely nothing to do with him working for District 50. Didn't even know he was going to apply for that job. And lo and behold, look what he's done. He's really made quite a name for himself.
Must be something in those Graves genes.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I hope so.
Well, you always were into serving and making it all about the kids.
Yeah, and that's what it was, and that's what kept me in it for over 40 years. My brother once made a comment to me, Ann, that, you know, you're one of the few people I know that have done something that they love for 40 years plus. And I have. I never went to work. I had a bad day or whatever, and even on my worst days, I always kept focused was on helping those children.
And you started out, though, working in a mill, didn't you?
I did. I worked in a steel mill. My father spent over 40-something years there. I spent about 20 minutes and knew I had to get a little bit more education. Everything that wasn't hot was heavy.
So you certainly have came a long way. You ended up here. Why did you end up here in South Carolina?
That's a question I answer almost every day. Messed around and was in graduate school teaching working on my graduate degree, my first graduate degree at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana, and which was about roughly 3.5-4 hours away. Went downstate and met a young lady from South Carolina, Greenwood, grew up in Promised Land. Well, met her and dated long distance for about a year or so, and on my way to a job in Fort Worth, Texas, I stopped by to visit.
And was that on the way?
On the way to Fort Worth. And I said, "Listen, I'm only going to be here about a week or so. And, you know, I'll see you and send for you." We got engaged that Christmas. And lo and behold, I let a guy by the name of Roger Burnett talk me into working with the 96 school system. And the rest is history. You know, Roger and I have been friends over the years. And but it's been a blessing. It really has.
So that's how we ended up with
that's
you.
That's how we ended up here. And two kids later, and she was an educator also. She spent 32 years in the system in 96, teaching elementary schools there.
So that's
elementary
awesome.
Kids, and she's enjoyed it, though, and I have too. I really have. But it's been a match made in heaven. I wouldn't take her for anything.
Well, that's nice to hear. Mm-hmm. That is very nice to hear. How long have y'all been married now?
32 years. It was 32 years in April.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, let's go back to a little background. When the conversation started that we might have another high school, there was Greenwood High. Greenwood High was strong. Right. What was the feeling about starting another high school?
And it was not good. When you talk to the people around here, now, my background is from an inner city school of 8 high schools. But the negative feeling I got from the community and the people talking, I mean, people that you thought were open-minded about things, they just did not want another high school in this town. And I don't care almost who you talk to, it was, you know, if you had a vote, probably, it was probably 99 against and one or two for. It was just ridiculous.
Then how did it happen?
Well, I tell you what, a bond referendum came up about some money for the school district. And I remember the superintendent and the chairman of the board talking about this behind closed doors one day at just kind of a meeting. And I remember the board chairman saying, you know, with or without this money, we're going to make this happen anyway because this is the best thing for children. And there was a committee of us that went out to local churches, and we talked about different things and the advantages, the pros and cons of remaining in the great structure we're in. And by and large, we just, you know, informed people what was happening. Well, a lot of people thought the vote on the referendum was a vote against the two high schools, but it really wasn't. So they voted down the referendum for the money part, but they still opened the high schools. And even though it was a small building to start off in or whatever, you know, it was supposed to happen. It really was.
So this was not an easy job for you to take on. Now, you really were supposed to be being groomed for superintendent.
Yes. Dr. McKenzie was the superintendent at that time. And when he talked to me, and, you know, just plain, he said, Chuck, he said, I tell you what I see for you. I want, at some point, you get me, let me help you get ready for the superintendent tendency, if that's your goal. He said, now, as I get older or whatever, I want to impart some of this knowledge. And he said, that may not be what you want, but I'm just telling you what I see for you. And later on, now, you know, I started off at Southside as an assistant principal with Dr. Tom Miller over there. Mm-hmm. 2 years after that, moved Tom over to the feeder school, Brewer, at that time, and then moved me into the principalship. And Ann, if I'd had a little bit more hair the day he talked to me about it, it just stood up on my head. He talked to me about being principal of that school, but I never in my wildest dreams would have thought I'd ended up being principal of a high school.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So then, what happened? I mean, had you put in to be the principal at Emerald?
Actually, I didn't. What happened was there was going to be changing grade structure, like I said, instead of going to junior high, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade was the middle school concept. So we were talking about that, and I was the chairman of the middle school committee, along with some other people around across town or whatever. But, you know, I told my wife one day, I said, you know, I've been in this business for a while, because, you know, I worked in education for 10-plus years in Indiana, even before I got to South Carolina. And I said, you know, I don't want to end up at a middle school. I had left Belton Honeypath High School. Mm-hmm. I had worked in 96 High School. I'd also worked in McCormick Middle School. And so I told her, I said, you know what? I'm really not interested in middle school. I said, but maybe I'll just put in just to see. You know, maybe they'll need an assistant principal or somebody like that or whatever. So I just put in that way. But he came to me, actually. You know, it wasn't about me having the best resume or anything like that. He said, Chuck, I need some help. You know, the person I'm looking at for this job cannot be approved by the board. I just wonder if you'll help me. I'm not going to leave you over there long, but if you'll go over there and get it started, I certainly would appreciate it.
No truer words were said. He did leave you there for a while, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, but he also told me the truth. He said, this may cost me my job. And I don't think he was there maybe a year in that position, maybe a year or so after that. And lo and behold, you know, he shipped off and went to Erskine. The district office paid him well, the board did, to leave. He went to Erskine as the head of the department over the education department. And I know that because we stayed in touch with each other, and I talked to some of his graduate courses that he taught. But he went on over there, and then I was at Emerald. But I tell you what, Ann, I wouldn't take anything for those 10 years. It was some of the best 10 years of my life in public education. And I've had many, really. A lot of wonderful kids, a lot of wonderful parents and people just supporting me and making it happen.
You know, I would think that if they shipped out the superintendent, that it is amazing that Emerald survived.
Well, you're right. You're right, because, you know, and even after, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because even thinking back on it, there were still people in town saying we ought to make this a ninth grade school. Can you believe that?
Yeah,
even even after we had been there a few years, no, this will be better off as a ninth grade setting. They'll never survive as a high school. And lo and behold, after the change of the superintendent, the other one did come in and finally said, well, listen, we just need to come up with a building project. You'd be surprised at the number of classrooms that were actually in portables. And as you look through those papers, I think that 98 was about $3.4 million expansion that went on there, which is small in today's terms.
You made the changes for that school.
Exactly.
For $150,000. I thought about that when I read that back then. That wasn't a lot of money. Even then, it wasn't a lot of
exactly,
money.
Exactly. And added two more wings, reconfigured the library, the offices. It was just unbelievable what we were able to do. It stirred up so much enthusiasm in the kids, and they were just believers. That class of 96, Ann, they thought I could walk on water. And all of them just loved me to death, and I loved them. And even to this day, I still hear from them.
That's tremendous. That is pretty awesome. Well, we are here with Chuck Graves. We are going to relive the building of Emerald. It's 20 years this year. In fact, I find it amazing that there is the Emerald City Beacon, and the article says, a moment in history, first high school student receives their high school class schedule. In fact, who was the student? Billy Joe Pearson was that student.
Exactly.
That's right. And there's a picture of you. And who is the picture? Sandy Robinson.
Yes.
That's right. She was the Secretary of Attendance.
She sure was.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, hey, we're going to go through this and talk about some of the things. Hope you'll stay right with us. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Ah, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Chuck Graves. He was, he's had a long career in education, and I tell you what, he had a great opportunity. It was an opportunity to get Emerald off the ground, and they were exciting times, but they were tough times, because everybody wasn't on board with a new school. I think probably part of it was, I guess it probably was football, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. It was. And change.
And change?
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yes, because, you know, the grade structure at Greenwood High was 10 through 12. They didn't want ninth graders in the school. They, meaning the powers that be at Greenwood High and whoever else was connected, that parents or whatever. Now, the kids didn't care.
Right.
It was all about, you know, football and sports, and you guys will never win anything. You'll never accomplish anything. So, you know, why not send the kids up there? And the school was overcrowded when it was 10 through 12. But yet they didn't want those ninth grades. Let's stick with these 7th, 8th, and 9th grade junior high schools or whatever. It wasn't what was best for kids. But the whole premise, though, and we created opportunities that a lot of kids wouldn't have had. Do you realize that our first valedictorian and salutatorian were from Connie Maxwell?
Wow, and the I didn't things, realize that.
Yes, and the things they said during graduation and things they said during the opening of school was that we wanted to come over here. Oh, by the way, the seniors had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
The seniors that were going to be the rising seniors at Greenwood High didn't have to come.
Wow.
And so they decided to come. Some of them turned their rings back into the Jocelyn's Company, who redid the rings for them. And they say, we want to come because there's some opportunities out here that we want to do and some clubs and organizations we want to start. We can never be a part of over here because this school is too big. So we open the door for opportunities.
Absolutely.
Never cut a soul from the football team or the basketball team. Coach used to always say, you cut yourself. We have X amount of uniforms, but we'll order more if we need to.
Wow.
Now, wasn't that wonderful?
That was wonderful. Absolutely. So what were some of the highs that first year? Like, how did we come up with the name the Vikings?
I'm glad you asked that. Okay. I had a committee, Ann, made up of about maybe 10, 12 kids. And what we had done, we had went to all the middle schools and the kids that were, well, they were junior highs at that time, but the kids that were going to be zoned, and we had gotten some of the student leaders from each group, you know, the North Side, South Side, and Emerald junior highs. And then we said, well, okay, it's our role to come up with some ideas of what we want to call the new high school. And believe it or not, I still have all this in a phone, you know, in a folder at home. And so I said, okay, let's talk about a name. Well, and they started voting and kicking around ideas. And here's what they came up with: Westwood. Why? Because it's on the west side of town and it's in a wooded area. Okay.
Okay.
And it took a vote and it won.
Okay.
Well, let's come up with colors and mascots and everything. Well, the first colors and mascots they kind of came up with was the Wolverines. They liked the sound of that, I think, Westwood
right.
Wolverines. But then they came up with colors like black, silver, and white, like the Oakland Raiders or something like
right.
that. Well, we took that to the board. The board said, you know, they'd vote on it or whatever. And I'll never forget the day. We went that evening. We went to Emerald Junior High. The board meeting met. The board members met over there, and in a cafeteria that was crowded to the brim. Walked in, presented that to the board. The board chairman talked about it or whatever, and then they voted on it. And what the decision was: we will not change the name of the school, but we will allow you to change the colors and the mascots. Well, a group of supposedly professional people back in the back stood up and cheered. You know, I mean, the kids started crying, and it was the saddest thing you could see, because
right.
the kids, you know, they had put their heart and soul into this, and so we went, on the way out, we were taking them home on vans, and I said, fellas, you know, it's okay, you know, we still have a chance to do something, and so let's take what we do have. And so they rallied around that, and they just, the only change they made, and they said, well, you know, they came up with the Vikings, and they came up with the purple, the gold, and the white. And so, and then they were just as satisfied with that. And so that's kind of how all that happened.
Wow.
Yeah, it was powerful. It really was.
What do you think are some of the keys, Chuck, to making kids, adults, whatever, rally around? I mean, you've spent a lifetime rallying people around.
Exactly.
What do you think it is?
Well, you know, and I think it has to do with your own beliefs and attitudes. Someone has a quote, I'm going to paraphrase, to accomplish great things, you must not only act, but also plan. Not only dream, but also believe. I think if you truly believe, and let me tell you why I say that, Ann. I had the task of walking on stage at Greenwood High School. Early in the school year, or whatever part of that school year was, to tell those kids, as a matter of fact, it was late in the school year because they had made the decision, the board had made the decision. So I'm walking out on stage in front of everybody in that auditorium that was zoned to come to Emerald, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Seniors and everybody. And kids, you got kids in there who say, well, you know, I've just been three years of junior high. I don't want to go back over there. I've been looking so forward to going to this high school. So you had that in there. Then you had some kids that were just looking for something, you know, something new and different or whatever. And then you had those that just weren't sure of what they were after. Well, I walked out there and I started talking about all this history and what we could do or whatever. And for some reason, my enthusiasm caught on. Now, those underclassmen didn't really have a choice. They were zoned
right.
to be there. But a young lady came to me later on, and she told her mother, tell me, she said, Mom, we know good and well he's not going to be able to produce everything that we have over here or want or whatever. She said, but the main thing about him, he listens to us. That meant a lot to me. See, his ears are open, Mom. He listened to us. He's a hard worker. And she just in first impressions, she got that. And then Miss Patterson, who was an administrator over at Greenwood High, came over. Dr. Moore was already at Emerald or whatever. So we just made the best of what we had. But I think it's enthusiasm, leadership. I think it's contagious. When kids really see that you have a passion for something, and even today, we're sitting here talking, I'm just as excited now talking about it as I was getting it started.
Yes, you are. And that's why I'm talking to Chuck Graves. I always love sitting down with Chuck. It's been too long. Right now, it's time for South Carolina Radio News. We'll be back after the news. Hey, if you got a question for Chuck, give him a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe Cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. How you doing this afternoon? I'm Ann Eller. We have the one and only Chuck Graves. It's 20 years that Emerald High School. You know, Chuck, when you look at Emerald today versus when you started, what do you think?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I see you at the games sometimes, yeah, and you look like you're really enjoying yourself.
I just smile. I can't believe it. You know, that gym is something to behold. It really is. And just the success they've had, not just in athletics but in academics, has been just, you know, unheard of compared to what we were predicted to do, which
sure.
was nothing.
Which was nothing. It's kind of like, you know, there was only one way you could go, and that was up, right?
That's the only way. That's
exactly.
The only way, right.
You know, and in some instances, it's better to have that image than to set a bar that was so impossible that you never could have strived above it.
Exactly. It was exciting, Ann. And even the kids will tell you. I got a call about a week ago from a guy in Connecticut, 2004 graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And his main thing was, Mr. Graves, we got to have you to stop by our reunion at Montague's. And I thought, if you got enough nerve to call me and run me down to do this, and you care enough about me to do this, I'm showing up.
That's right.
Exactly what I did. But I think a lot of them, and they thought a lot of me.
Well, I think, you know, that you certainly have made it memorable for a lot of these kids.
Thank you.
And I also think that some of the other things that happened, I mean, what did we have? A 3.8 million. It was 150,000 to get Emerald situated to open up.
Exactly.
But then they came back and did a 3.8 million upgrade.
Exactly. In 98.
And
right.
The Frank Hill Stadium and
right.
And you were telling me before we went on the air that when you first started that year, you were sharing teachers between the two schools.
Oh, yes. Yes, we have several teachers that were going back and forth, depending on the type of class it was, Ann. And as a matter of fact, I remember very vividly, we were sharing a band director, we were sharing a science teacher, and we actually had kids, because we didn't have a varsity football team, we actually had kids coming in our building, our students, with Greenwood High cheerleader uniforms on. Isn't that bizarre?
Bizarre!
Yeah, bizarre. Really. You know, we didn't have a football stadium and to play in, so we had to play all our games at Greenwood High. So every game was a road game, even when we won the state championship. Every game was a road game.
And still they won.
Still won.
Now, what was, after the first year, what was the feeling at the school after the first year? You got through the first year. You
right.
graduated your first class
right.
in 95.
Right. Right.
What was the feeling after
that? Well, you
that?
Know, you have, 38 graduates in 95, and I have the class of 96 yearbook right in front of me here, Ann. And, you know, you can take a look at that opening statement of the yearbook. That kind of says it all. But I tell you what, Ann, that class of 96 was on fire. They really were. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you somebody that was in that class, a couple of people that you would probably know, Molly Smith. That's Lakeview's principal, is Molly McHugh. That's
right.
Gabe McHugh's daughter.
Right. Yep.
And also Brad Thompson, who just recently, you know, resigned from the board because he moved whatever. That's Brad's class.
Wow.
You know, Cal Gumby, a lot of those kids, they were just they were just a family. They made my life a lot easier because they thought a lot of me, and I just loved them. They were just on fire. They really were.
That is... Mm-hmm. That is pretty awesome. It says, within the crowded halls of Emerald exists an atmosphere different from any place else, full of opportunities and adventures. The halls are different paths of the life that students may take. These paths are the basis of the high school experience, creating memories that will last a lifetime. It's definitely worth looking into. So that kind of sums
it
all up.
Yeah. And I'll share this with you, Ann. We had a problem. We had such a good first couple of years or whatever. We had a problem keeping the enrollment down. Keeping it down. We wanted to stay in the 2A area. And, you know, that would have meant that we had to have under 500, 600 students or whatever, we didn't want to get into the 800s and 900s.
Sure.
And lo and behold, we knew we were headed that way. But you had kids coming out of private schools, kids coming out of Christian schools, knocking on the door. Kids.
How about Greenwood High School?
At Greenwood High School, kids wanting to transfer, you know, change zones illegally and all that. So that was a chore trying to keep that together. It really was. But it was a nice problem to have. It really
yeah.
was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the teachers were very, very kind about how they felt about you taking that over and the experience that they had.
Right. They were. They're very supportive. And one of the things I'll never forget, one of the final interview questions when we were talking about the job with the superintendent was, why should we hire you and what do you bring to the table? And I bring a family atmosphere. And then they said, what do you really want? I said, I want a family. And that's what we had. We had a family. You know, we were not, you know, the black and the glows, the have and the have-nots, the blues and the greens. We were the Vikings. And then they rallied around that, and the purple and gold was our flag. And, you know, we were doing something for the first time, and the kids got so excited. And as you can tell, I did too.
Yeah. Well, question, though. As you were building this place on fire, how was the surrounding environment?
You know, it's strange. We really didn't care.
Didn't care? Okay.
You know, I had a counselor friend of mine over at Greenwood High called me one day, and she said, Chuck, she said, we recently have a faculty meeting over here. And she said, you won't believe that most of that faculty meeting was anti-Emerald. And she said, and I stood up and I said, I'm sure that Mr. Graves is not spending any time at all thinking about us as much as we're thinking about him. She said, go on with what you all are doing over there, because you're affecting a lot of good change in this town. And she was right. Let me tell you what a board member said. One of the board members that was on the board at the time, after we got going, first 5, 6, 7 months, whatever, he came to me. He said, Chuck, he said, I'll tell you something, privately. He said, if I knew this change would be so good, I'd say let's split the school one more time.
Wow. Wow. I can't see that happening, Chuck, but but it was certainly. And, of course, you know, Emerald is the smaller school. Mm-hmm. Greenwood High is the bigger school.
It is.
But Emerald certainly holds its own in today's world.
It really does. I'm real proud to have been a part of it, and I'm still a part. You once a Viking, always a Viking.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we broadcast Viking football. In fact, Jonathan is one of our – he's our stat guy. And Rob Gilchrist broadcast Emerald. So
right. And I want to thank the radio station. I called Brad Nichols, the principal over there. You know, Brad, I don't know if you knew this. Brad was my soccer coach.
No, I didn't know that.
Brad Nichols was my soccer coach. He's principal of Emerald High School right now. And Chad Evans was my baseball coach.
How about that?
So my two coaches now are over there at those schools or whatever, and they're buddies, so they get along real well. And hopefully you still have some of that Greenwood Emerald stuff going on or whatever, and, you know, this, that, and the other. But the kids have handled it well. They really have. It's the adults that can't seem to get over it.
Well, it seems to be a problem in a lot of things, doesn't it?
Yes, but that's a problem for them and not us.
Exactly. Well, we are here with Chuck Graves. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Emerald. Who knows? We might get into a little bit about the G. Frank Russell Center, where he ended up and finally retired from. But don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. You know, I was looking through this great notebook you have with all the different things that were written and everything. I happened to come across this. This was in the Index Journal. It must have been right around Veterans Day. And I see this picture of a man, and I kind of go, looks vaguely familiar. And then it says Chuck Drake, and I went, oh, Chuck Drake. Let's see, who is that? Chuck Drake lives in Greenwood and is a veteran of the Korean and Vietnam Wars. Mm-hmm. And he had said that, and he wrote a letter to the editor here, and it says, today I had the honor of speaking to the students of two different schools, Hodges Elementary and Emerald High School. What a wonderful experience to speak to two entirely different age groups about what Veterans Day meant to me. He says, I hadn't envisioned that the students would be so disciplined and courteous. The Hodges Elementary students were so lovable. You could just feel the affection between the students and their teachers. What a great school. Then he says, Emerald High School was just what every parent, visitor, or educator loves to see. I am so proud to have been involved with the student body. I wish that I had invited every member of my family and also all my friends to the ceremony. I had been forewarned that the students might not be receptive to my speech. Let me tell you, these students showed me the utmost courtesy and attentiveness that I have ever seen. The veterans ceremony conducted by the Emerald JROTC unit was one of the most professional that I have ever witnessed. I could go on about how I feel about Veterans Day experience. Folks, if all of our schools are like Hodges Elementary and Emerald High School, our future is in excellent hands and another great generation is here. That was pretty awesome.
Oh, wow. Makes me feel good all over again.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So, and then that was many, many years ago. Oh, but
sure.
what a great yeah. article there.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it was nice. And of course, with what you have done over there, you know, one of the other things that was happening August 18th, 1994, was the sign came down on Westinghouse and Eaton sign went up.
How about that?
I was thinking, you know, we don't even think about that. That's 20 years for Eaton right here in Greenwood.
Exactly. That's unbelievable.
And, you know, I was out talking to Dr. Skinner today out there at the Genetic Center. Okay. They're getting ready to celebrate 40 years here in Greenwood.
How about that?
1974.
Well, I'm hoping the Index Journal is picking up on all this positive news, eh?
Yeah, exactly. It would be good, wouldn't it?
Great, great.
And do you know that WCRS is having their 73rd anniversary? The first day they went on the air was September 1st, 1941.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
There's some good stuff going on right here in Greenwood.
There is. Mm-hmm. So you're right. We do need to make sure we get some of this positiveness. But when you have things that have lasted this length of time and have built and continued to build, it's pretty awesome.
It really is. I'm real proud to be a part, to have been a part, especially of the school system here.
Yeah, exactly. Now, of course, then you went on to, how did you end up over at the G. Frank Russell Center then?
Well, I'll tell you, and after 10 years, I was getting job offers. I really was. Lawrence had called, 96 had called, Edgefield had called, and I know a lot of people across the state because of my association with the principals administration group down in Columbia. So, you know, you get calls when things are going well, you know, you hear about it.
And, you get calls when things aren't going well, but you get them from a different source.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. Now, so I had job offers on the table. But Bill Steed, was the superintendent, and about the last day of school or so, he came by to just for a general visit, how you doing kind of thing. And on the way out the door, he says to me, he said, Chuck, he said, I know you've worked in industry. I have. He said, Chuck, you've done a pretty good job over here. He said, but I was just wondering, you ready for a change after 10 years? He having been a high school principal himself, he knew the number of hours and how difficult the task was. He said, Chuck, he said, you ready for a change? And I said, well, Dr. Steed, I said, what you got in mind? He said, I can't give you the job. He said, but the word on the street is that Frank Russell over there is going to retire. I said, you kidding me? Frank's not going anywhere. 49 years in this system, I know he's not. He said, no, seriously. He said, if you're interested, shoot me an email, and I'll see about getting you an interview. And that's kind of how it happened. Interviewed for the job, and within 2 days later, they finished interviews. He called me. He said, Chuck, he said, I tell you what, he says, unless you tell me differently, this job is yours. I'll give you 24 hours to think about it, and then I'm going to go ahead on to the board and get this approved or whatever. He says, so you got 24 hours to let your people know if you're going to go. And so I say, Ann, well, you know, I had been thinking about, 10 years, Ann, of, you know, worrying about the cheerleaders and the soccer team and the this and the that and going up and down the highway and all that. Oh, by the way, I only missed 2 football games in 10 years.
That's pretty amazing. Amazing.
And was just about at every state championship, and not to mention the plays, the dances, the this and the that, or whatever. But, you know, I just saw it as a change, another tree to climb. And then I thought about this message of helping young people could go countywide. Mm-hmm. Where it shows 96 and Greenwood. And
right.
That was exciting. And they had never had more than about 300 or 400 kids in those halls over there. And I had an opportunity to get 1,000 kids per semester or more.
Wow.
And start some new programs. And so, you know, again.
You know, and it became a place where kids from all different economic levels went there.
Without a doubt. It was just not looked at as the kids that could not go to college or weren't able to do this, that, and the other. I'll tell you the nicest comment I had about that, Ann. about maybe the first year I was there, maybe first year, second semester, a kid got off the bus. He looked and turned to me. He said, "Miss Graves, you know, this place saved my life." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Miss Graves, I was headed toward dropping out of school." He said, "Because I've gotten involved in some of these programs over here." He said, "Miss Graves," he said, "I like this. I'm coming back. I'm going to finish this."
How does that make you feel?
It's powerful, powerful.
Right, exactly.
Really was.
And now, of course, and I mean, even when you were there, they had started some of these bridge programs with Piedmont Tech.
Exactly.
What do you think about, though, how the thing that concerns me is how fast our kids are moving through these systems? Does it ever worry you that they're going to grow up too fast?
It does. And, you know, the smorgasbord thing has always bothered me a little bit. Sometimes we can give them too many choices.
Yeah.
And I've never been in favor of this early graduation. Now, look what has happened. Well, you know, my thing was I'd ask kids, I'd say, okay, what's next? I'd meet with the seniors. Like right now, school's about to start. Within the first week of school, I'd meet with every class, the freshmen, the sophomores, the juniors, the seniors. And my goal was to set for them in motion, well, what's next for you? If you're a freshman, you're next, you're looking at being a sophomore.
Sure.
Well, I'd focus on the seniors. Well, you know, what are you looking for? Are you looking for the world of work? You're looking for school? You're looking for the military?
Whatever. I want to be a football player.
You hear that so many times. Yeah,
exactly.
One in a million, okay?
Right.
But anyway, Anna, I'm real concerned that, you know, we get them out there, and then what's next? They don't know. They don't have a plan.
Right.
And my thing was always have a plan. Proper planning prevents poor performance.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the things is, do you think that, you know, that this getting them focused in a direction at an early age is a good thing?
Well, that's not a bad thing, but I always used to say not just one thing. A couple of different things, and based on realistic goals.
Sure.
You know, I mean, no, they're not looking for 5'7", 150-pound football players, you know. let's
right.
Be real about it,
yeah.
You know. But I think overall, if we expose them, I'll tell you something I did that was really meaningful to the eighth-grade parents. We'd have an eighth-grade night where the parents would come over, the kids would come over during the day for tours, and near the end of the week, I'd have, and that was from every middle school in this area.
This is at the G. Frank Russell
Career Center,
right.
Yeah, throughout District 50, 51, and 52. So we've included all those districts. Well, at the end of the week, we'd have all the parents to come over and look at the programs. And then they'd fill out a survey in terms of what programs they were interested in and something maybe they didn't see that they wanted to see. And we weren't stopping them from going to college, but we're just giving them another option just
sure.
In case they wanted to major in something else. And it was a great activity. But I think the earlier we get involved in making some type of decision or even thinking about it, they don't have to make it, just think about what is it I really want to do, you know, based on what I like, my likes, my dislikes, and where I really want to go. But the main thing, let's get a high school diploma.
Sure.
Okay.
Exactly.
Become a productive and responsible citizen.
We need more of those.
Without a doubt.
You know, and I think this economy has been so hard on kids that did want to go on and did want it to go places. It's been a real problem.
Yeah, it really has.
And even kids. Even kids. Gracie, you are out of sorts here today.
Mm-hmm.
Even kids that have been in. Gone on and gotten two or three, gotten a master's and a doctorate.
Right.
They're having tough times.
They really are. They really are.
That's right. So I don't know what got Gracie so agitated here today. Do you want to go to school, Gracie? Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
God, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chuck, I tell you what, it certainly has been really an experience to find out that it's 20 years and that we are on the same day that the first student received their school schedule is just pretty unbelievable.
It really is, especially with school opening up for the students tomorrow, I understand.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's incredible. It really is. So if anybody listening out there, let the Index Journal know. We got some good things going on in Greenwood, you know, with Emerald High Schools. Let's do a major article on this.
Yeah, well, they should do.
Mm-hmm.
They should go out there and see the be able to get some of the pictures then and now.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah,
right.
I tell you what, I was looking through the first yearbook, and the first yearbook was called "Making the Pieces Fit."
That was it.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. But when you saw some of the pictures and some of the people that I remember over the years being customers here at Sharp Facets, it really has been a pretty awesome experience. And to see these students now, of course, they're middle age.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
It is.
Yeah, I saw a young lady the other day. She said, "Miss Grace, I have 3 or 4 kids. And you remember my high school sweetheart, such a year, whatever? Well, I married him."
Yeah.
It's great.
It's amazing to see how people have changed and what they have become. But I know that when you look back on these memories, they're just memories that make you proud.
Oh, without a doubt. I have a smile every time I think about it. And, you know, just being able to keep that book and just put those things together, you can see how, you know, it just brings such wonderful memories back. And, again, I'll always have that DNA of love for children in my blood. It doesn't matter whether it's church or whether it's the school system or whatever. I'll always be an advocate for students.
And that's, we need more of those out there, Chuck.
Well, thank you.
That's absolutely. Uh-huh. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Chuck Graves, thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you for having me.
All righty.
Always a pleasure.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.